Chapter 17. I crouched beside the door, trying to listen to what Winzik and the other officials were saying inside.
Hey,
Embot said in my ear, nearly making me jump.
Spencer, what are you doing?
I gritted my teeth, concentrating on the sounds from behind the door.
Oh,
Embot said after a moment.
Are you hiding? What's wrong? I was computing our flight back to Starsight. Weren't you going to go release secretions in the lavatory? Spencer, did you release them in an inappropriate place? Is that why you're hiding?
Shut up, I whispered as softly as I could. I'm trying to spy.
Oh,
Embot said. The others were speaking too quietly for my translator to pick them up. I could hear muffled voices, but couldn't make anything out.
Do you maybe want me to enhance your bracelet's auditory reception capacities? Then wire the translations directly into your ear, so your pin won't give you away?
Embot asked.
This will help you spy more efficiently.
Yes, I whispered back.
Fine. No need to be terse.
He wirelessly shut off my pin, then began piping the voices from the other room directly into my earpiece. My bracelet sound pickup was much more sensitive than the pins or my normal hearing, and Embot was way better at isolating voices from background chatter.
Should have seen that this would be such a disaster, one of the officials was saying. These drone pilots were trained to fight against the humans at the Detritus Preserve. They came out shooting far too aggressively.
These casualties are unfortunate.
That was Winzik's voice, which had a calm tone to it.
But you needn't worry about repercussions. This was an accident, not an act of aggression.
There are a dozen dead, another official said.
These Dions sounded far less calm in private than they had outside when talking to that gorilla Burl.
The poor families. Those poor families will be destroyed entirely if we don't prepare a fighting force to resist the Delvers,
Winzik said.
My. My department's suppressors will deal with any outcries of injustice. You have done your duty well.
Yes, well, another official said. I guess. As long as you think the test worked. But was it necessary for you to bring your human here, Winzik? She makes me uncomfortable.
My, Tidsmar, Winzik said. You worry far too much. And about the wrong things. Consider instead the Department of Species Integration and their insistence on entering several very aggressive species into our contest. Kuna is up to something here. That newcomer, Alanik, uses human combat strategies. Her people are dangerous from their long association with the Scourge and should remain isolated.
I frowned as I leaned against the wall, then felt something. A mind pressing against my own.
What? Said an official inside. What is wrong? Why is your human standing up, so alert like that? She's properly trained, isn't she?
Idiot. If I could hear Braid with my senses, then of course she'd hear me back. I spun and scrambled back down the hallway. Sweating, I slowed down to walk back into the dining room. I tried to be nonchalant as I sat down at our table. A moment later, Winzik appeared in the doorway, looking around the room. As I slipped back into conversation with Hesho and Morimer, from the corner of my eye, I could see that the Krell's faceplate pointed in our direction, lingering on us. Then he retreated. A short time later, a group of Dione officials entered the room bearing tablets. They moved through the tables, talking to the pilots, giving instructions.
And here we have Alanik,
said a Dione official with crimson skin as they arrived at our table.
The non-citizen. You performed quite well in the test. Excellent flying and rescuing others in need. Delightful. We have organized you in a flight with the Big Enough and its crew. I assume you'll find this acceptable.
I glanced at Hesho, who stood up and clapped once. It seemed like a sign of assent.
I'd like that, I said. Thank you. Now,
the official said, scrolling their tablet screen and reading. There is a matter of some sensitivity I would discuss with you two. We have added another member to your flight, a skilled and capable pilot, very skilled.
Then we shall welcome them, Hesho said. Who is this person?
It's a human, the official said. Mortimer gasped softly, putting their hands to their face. Hesho immediately sat back down in his seat, and a Kitson appeared with a fan and began fanning him rapidly. I tried my best to look surprised and horrified. Now, you needn't be worried, the official continued, speaking quickly. This human is fully licensed. I will provide you with documentation.
Why? Hesho said. Would we be training to fight one evil by using another?
Yes, I said. Those things enslaved my people for decades. I wouldn't think you'd set them loose on the galaxy. This human is very well-trained, the official said. We need to test whether she can fight Delvers.
What if this human is perfect at fighting them? Hesho asked. Will you create flights and fleets only of humans? This is hiring the wolf to guard your sheep. In the end, you will still lose your sheep.
I found that metaphor curious. Had he actually used the words wolf and sheep? Or had he spoken alien words that got translated into something similar in English? Either way, I wasn't sure what I thought of Braid joining our flight. She was a cytonic. Would she be able to, with time, tell that I was secretly human? I had the suspicion that she was being assigned to my flight specifically to keep an eye on me. At the same time, she probably understood much more about being cytonic. She might know the secret to making my powers work properly. She might be able to explain to me what I was, what we were. I'm sure, I said slowly, that the superiority knows what it's doing.
My people have a long history with the humans, Hesho said, settling back beneath the fanning of his servant. Back in the days when we still had shadow walkers, our people walked between our world and Earth, the human homeworld. This is a bonfire awaiting a spark.
If this is not an acceptable situation, Your Majesty, the Dione said, we can remove you from the flight rolls.
I would, of course, have to ask my people, Hesho said, as I am not their king, but simply one equal among many in a perfectly legal democracy.
The other Kitson around him nodded vigorously in agreement, even while one fanned him and another served his food. So this means we passed the tests for sure, I said, diverting the topic. We're going to be trained to fight the Delvers?
Yes,
the official said. We'll send a shuttle to pick you up tomorrow at 1000, starsight time. It will deliver you to our training grounds. I'm afraid you'll need to leave your own starships behind and train on our equipment, though we'll have an appropriate vessel prepared for the Kitson, Captain Hesho. Superiority ships. Exactly what I was hoping for. I still didn't know how I was going to find a chance to steal a hyperdrive from my new ship, let alone get it to Embot and jump us back to Detritus. But at least I'd taken one major step toward accomplishing that goal. Though I'd want to triple check to make certain my hologram disguise would stay in place if I strayed too far from Embot.
To be extra careful regarding the human, the official said, we've placed a figment in your flight. You might have noticed that one was attending this test. This individual prefers to be addressed as a female and has asked that you call her simply Vapor.
Hesho sat up at this.
A figment, you say?
He said, tapping his furry chin with a single clawed finger.
This is some comfort, at least.
Huh? What was this? A figment? I looked around, trying to see if I could pick out what they were referencing. However, before I could ask, the official continued speaking.
Excellent, the official said, then pointed absently at Mortimer.
Now you, please follow me, and I'll tell you about your placement.
What?
I said, suddenly alert. Mortimer isn't with us?
They shall be placed in their own solo flight, the official said, as is appropriate.
Mortimer stood up slowly, looking sad. I enjoyed speaking with you, Alenik. No, I said, feeling my face flush with outrage as I stood up. We're a flight. Mortimer stays with us. Both Mortimer and the official looked at me with shocked expressions. Well, let them be shocked. I folded my arms. What good is a flight of one? Leave Mortimer with us. You already have four in your team, the official said. This is the number we decided as a flight size. Surely there isn't an exact multiple of four in this room, I said, gesturing to the pilots filling the tables around us. Besides, we're already a strange flight with a human in it. So we could use the extra pilot with us, in case the vicious creature turns against us. Well, the official said, rattled as they typed on their tablet. Well, I guess we can rearrange. They glanced up at me warily, then went back to typing. Just be ready for the shuttle pickup tomorrow. A superiority flight suit will be issued to you and will arrive in the morning. You'll be delivered back to Starsight each evening, so we'll not need to pack changes of clothing. But if you require sustenance at midday, be prepared with your own food supply. Be on time in the morning. At that, the Dione turned and hurried away.
You didn't need to do that, Mortimer said to me. I came into this knowing that I'd be isolated.
Yeah, well, I rarely let go of someone once I have my teeth in them, I said. It's the warrior's way.
What a profoundly disturbing metaphor, Mortimer said, settling back down. Thank you, in any case. I should like to not be on my own.
Wait, I said, looking around our table. They said four people were in our team. Who is this vapor they mentioned?
It's me.
A quiet whisper of a voice said. I jumped and turned to look, but no one was there. I was hit with the striking scent of cinnamon, burned cinnamon, actually.
Welcome, unseen one,
Hesho said, standing, then bowing low. The others of his crew did likewise. You're invisible? I asked, surprised.
I am a figment, said the soft, feminine voice.
And I realized I knew that voice. I'd heard it before. The drone ship that helped me save Mortimer, I said. You were on that ship.
Figments, Hesho said, are known to be able to infiltrate ships and take control of them.
So are all the drones piloted by people like you? I asked.
No, the disembodied voice said. There aren't many of us. I simply took control of one of the ships for this test, against the will of its remote pilot.
Incredible. But what was she? A smell? Was I talking to a smell? The distinct scent trailed away, but I didn't know if that meant vapor was leaving or something else. I found the idea of a creature that I couldn't see to be distinctly disturbing. Who knew when she would be watching us? The lunch was breaking up, creatures from other tables filing out to return to their ships. Hesho bade us farewell with gusto, then climbed down the ladders set up by his crew. Together, the group of over 50 diminutive foxes gathered their things and trotted out the doors. Mortimer and I followed, eventually emerging out into the open air at the top of the station. Black sky overhead, speckled with stars. Ships were launching a few at a time for the flight back to Starsight. I bade farewell to Mortimer, then walked over to Embot and hauled myself up onto his wing so I could get into the cockpit. Some engineers came to try to inspect me while you were below, Embot said, but I scared them away by making it seem like they'd accidentally tripped an alarm system. Good thinking, I said. It was kind of like a lie, he said. I can do it, as you said, under the right circumstances. As we prepared to take off, I felt something against my mind again. I glanced to where the sensation seemed to be coming from and noticed a set of partially opened hangar doors. I could see a shadow standing inside. Braid,
watching my ship. I don't like the idea of you going off on your own tomorrow, Embot said, flying another ship.
Jealous?
Maybe. It would be cool if I could feel that. But more, I think it's dangerous. We'll need to double-check your bracelet's holographic projector. Its CPU should be able to manage your hologram without my aid, but we'll want to observe it first. It would be better if I could go with you.
I don't really see that we have a choice, I said, as I lifted us up and away from the platform. We need to get our hands on a superiority ship.
It's possible they won't give you one that can hyperjump, Embot said. At least not at first.
I considered that, I said. But if I can gain their trust, there's a good chance they'll relax their security around me. I might not be given a starfighter that can hyperjump, but I'll likely be near one. If I can't steal a hyperdrive, perhaps I can at least get some photos of one.
Photos won't get us home.
I know. I'm still working on that. As we flew toward Starsight and I thought it through, I realized that I had inadvertently been given a backup plan. Winzik and the others had just assigned me to the same flight as their pet human. Did Braid know there was an entire planet full of humans like her, only free? Might she be willing to escape there if I gave her the right opportunity? If I couldn't steal a hyperdrive from the superiority, maybe I could instead steal away one of their cytonics.